What's up, KD Time friends? Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, the sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast for each and every podcast fan. I am your host, KD, and on this podcast series, I bring all kinds of topics to the table, usually from discussing culture, movies, TV shows, music, sports, food, and of course, that general nostalgia. Join in the fun, share, and subscribe wherever you are listening. In this episode, I have Jonah on with me. He's a real cool guy who happens to be the host of the Overthinkers Anonymous podcast, where I was a guest on his show not too long ago. Our episode is called Undercookers Anonymous. It's episode 15. You can find it on Spotify, and I'll include a link in the bio. We are going to talk about our top 10 favorite movies from 10 years ago, 2013. Let's get into it. Welcome to KD Time, everybody. I'm your host, KD, and I have a special guest with me, and his name is Jonah. And tell him about yourself, Jonah. Say hello.
Hello, KD Time listeners. My name is Jonah, and I guess where do I begin? I guess I have, on the topic of podcasts, I have my own podcast, I guess, that I'll shamelessly plug right now. It's called Overthinkers Anonymous, and I guess you could call me an overthinker, but I mean, in terms of like coming on KD Time, I didn't have to overthink at all. I just like, you know, KD invited me and I'm like, for sure, I'd like to come on and talk about movies. And I guess I'll let KD introduce the topic. But yeah, I mean, is there anything else I should say about myself, KD, before we like get going?
That was pretty good. I mean, you could tell us, tell us a little bit more about your podcast. So it's called Overthinkers Anonymous. So does everybody on there, are they all overthinkers?
I mean, yeah, but I wouldn't say it's a strictly like a rule or a requirement for people coming on the podcast. But I do think, you know, overthinking is something I feel like a lot of people do, if not most people do. On some level, to some extent. And yeah, I think it's just like something that everybody can relate to. And then, you know, the topics that we talk about on the podcast can vary depending on who's on or like, you know, what we find interesting. So yeah, I mean, as a host, I just try not to overthink it too much, but also, I guess, use overthinking as a nice little jumping off point for a discussion that can really just go anywhere. And then that's what I love about, like, I guess the concept is that it's very open, but it's also somewhat specific, and it lends itself to like more specificity depending on, again, the conversation. So yeah.
Nice.
No need to over explain it further.
No. Nice. So on this show, on my show, because I was able to be on his show, I mentioned that earlier. We talked a little bit about what we were going to talk about on our show. The episode was episode 15, and on his show. So for my show, we decided to talk about movies that came out in 2013. So basically like a top 10s list or a favorite list, basically, or just a list of movies that we really enjoyed in 2013. And we were going to, you know, bring it back, do like a little throwback kind of thing from, can't believe it's been 10 years, but that's what we're going to talk about, movies. So would you like to start? We could start with your first movie on your list.
Number 10 is Iron Man 3. directed by Shane Black. I'll just list the directors, just to, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Keep it short and sweet. Number 9 is The World's End by Edgar Wright. Number 8 is Her by Spike Jonze. Number 7 is Fast and Furious 6, directed by Justin Lin. Number 6?
Number 5. You're going down. I'm
on 5 now? Okay, wait. The next movie is Gravity, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, which is it's a great movie. Number 4 now?
Number 4.
That's so weird, because I think I missed one. Okay, number 4, allegedly, is Coherence, directed by, I think it was James Ward Byerkit. Yeah, I got that right. number 3?
Yep.
Okay, well, this is number 4 on my list. So I missed a movie then, I think.
Did you double label a movie? Did you just double number them?
I'm looking at bullet points, not numbers, but number 3 is Man of Steel, directed by Zack Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, number 2, which is 3 for me, but The Wolf of Wall Street by Martin Scorsese.
Yep.
Okay, number 3. Wait, are you number 3?
I don't know.
I just want my numbers to align with whatever I'm saying. But like,
you should have.
The next one is Snowpiercer. The penultimate one is Snowpiercer.
You should have numbered them instead of putting.
I should have. Yeah. And then the top spot, I guess. Assuming I didn't miss any of them. Is Enemy. Directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Okay, yes.
And that's it?
I think that's 10. I think you said 10 movies. I was trying to count with you, and then you started forgetting your number line.
It's going to be so weird to listen back to this, but I think I got them all. I think I listed all of them.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
All right. My turn. My movies are in no particular order, but I'll start from 1 to 10. I have Identity Theft, directed by Seth Gordon. And Seth also did several other movies that I've seen, like Pixels, Baywatch, Horrible Bosses, Four Christmases, things like that. Would you believe on my list number 2 is Frozen?
That came out in 2013.
Yes, it did. Damn. I am also shocked, but yes. Frozen was directed by Jennifer Lee and Chris Buck. And they mostly did a lot of Disney movies together, or Disney movies in general. Number 3 for me is We're the Millers, directed by Rawson Marshall Thurber. I thought that movie was
hilarious. That's a good one. I really like that one too, actually.
So funny. The next one on my list, number 4, is The Heat, directed by Paul Feig. And my number 5 is Man of Steel, also directed by Zack Snyder, if you guys didn't hear that before.
Hold on, can I pause you? Like, The Heat?
Yeah.
Was that Sandra Bullock and yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy, yeah. Okay. Because, like, there's also another movie called, there's, like, Al Pacino, and, like, there's a Heat movie.
Oh, really?
With Al Pacino in it? Like, it's a crime thriller. And I'm pretty sure it didn't come out in 2013. It's, like, way older. But just wanted to be clear. I was thinking,
I know.
It's the first thing that came into my head.
There's a lot of movies that have the same like title almost, but yeah, this one was the one with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. They're both cops. Oh my goodness. Anyhow, right. Yes, I said Man of Steel. Number 6 for me was The Wolverine, directed by James Mangold.
Oh, right.
He also just did the Indiana Jones movie that just came out, Dial of Destiny. Which I heard was a good movie. I want to go see that, as well as Logan and Ford versus Ferrari. Number 7 for me is Despicable Me number 2, directed by Chris Renald and Pierre Coffin.
I like that.
My list of movies is all over the place. Number 8 is Warm Bodies, directed by Jonathan Levine. And number 9, Fast and Furious 6, directed by Justin Lin. And number 10 for me is Oz the Great and Powerful, directed by Sam Raimi. And I like Sam Raimi because he directed Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2. And I love watching Spider-Man 2. It's definitely one of my favorite superhero movies.
Spider-Man 2 specifically?
Spider-Man 2 specifically. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, like his Spider-Man movies were all really good, and were like the first really big like superhero films mm-hmm. that have ever come out. I mean,
yeah,
we've had like the Batman movies from the 90s, like Tim Burton yeah. started. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I feel like those Spider-Man movies just like really brought like superheroes to the big screen and like yeah. made it kind of a big deal. Like Batman is just like, I don't know. Like Batman is just such a like familiar character, but you know what I mean. Like mm-hmm. I don't know. Like people didn't really take those movies all that seriously, honestly. Even though the Tim Burton ones were pretty good, but mm-hmm. still.
So yeah, we had at least two movies on the same list, like Man of Steel and Fast and Furious. I remember those two. I was like, yeah, those are on my list too.
Yeah, you actually listed some movies that I had to leave out just because I was doing the whole ranking thing, and I thought, oh, kind of felt like I was like choosing, like having to just like make a really tough choice. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I mean, I just went with what I went with, but like I really like We're the Millers. I thought that was like that's a really funny like comedy.
Yeah,
it's like super raunchy, but it's also like really wholesome in a way.
Yeah. it's like the unlikely of people to get together. You got like a stripper, and then you got a random guy and girl who make a family with Jason Sudeikis. I was like, what is this? But it was so funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's so also funny. Like it's also worth noting that Will Poulter is what's his name? Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Adam Warlock? Adam, yeah.
I still haven't seen it, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
I just know he's in it. And I'm also, like, I don't know how much screen time he actually has mm-hmm. in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and I'd rather not know that until I actually watch it. But I wouldn't be disappointed if it's just a cameo.
I won't say anything. Just a cameo, but yeah. I know he's come a long way, like going from being this goofy teenager who doesn't get a lot of play with the ladies or whatever, and then boom, he's like this hot hunk in a superhero movie. I'm like, okay, I see you, Will. I see what you did there.
Oh yeah, he was in The Revenant too. I really liked him in The Revenant.
Is that like, one with
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Okay, with the bear.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
Alejandro Iñárritu, I think, the director.
But I don't know. I didn't see the Birdman movie.
Too. But wait, I just want to Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah. No, I mean,
it's really important for me to like list the directors, and I guess for me, it's like even more important than listing like the lead actors. But mm-hmm. I guess that's just how I like approach.
Your movies,
because like, yeah, I mean, like, obviously the actors are an essential part, but mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, yeah, I just like the idea of like, I guess like, auteurs or like even just like authorship or like the creative voice that's like captaining the ship,
yeah,
of a film set, and mm-hmm. like basically is the one overseeing most of the creative aspects of a film.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Echo decided who's to that? Talk to me. That was Echo.
Oh, Echo? Did I activate Echo somehow?
I think you. I don't know how, because you're in my ears.
Oh, R2-D2 just wanted to say hi to Echo.
I'm wearing headphones.
Oh, was that anyways, super loud?
No, that's why I'm like so confused. How did she turn on just now? See, this is what I'm talking about. Technology is wild, man.
What's the activation phrase?
It's not Alexa. It's the other one, not computer. I just don't want to say it, and then she comes on again.
Okay, Echo or something.
Yeah, it's that one.
Okay, Echo. So weird.
That was so weird. That was so weird. Oh my goodness. Oh well. So yeah. Your list, why did you rank them the way you did, 10 to 1, 1 to 10?
I think it was, I guess, I just went by how much I liked them, but also, I guess that maybe the effect that it had on me, or like even the impression or the lasting impression that these films have had on me. Like a lot of these films I watched in the movie theater, except for, I would say, Enemy and Snowpiercer.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, I feel like I watched basically everything. Oh, and Coherence.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that on Netflix, like during like a. I think we I was like out with my friends, like we had just taken like a long drive, and then like we were staying at an Airbnb, out of town, and then just fired up Netflix, and we thought, hey, like let's watch this. Or like, I think one of my friends has seen this movie before, and he was like, "Yo, this will, check this movie out because it's gonna like, it's gonna fuck your mind up or something. it's gonna like you know, something like that. Make like it's think. Gonna blow your mind."
Yeah,
yeah. Like, and it really is one of those really mind blowing movies. Like, I don't know how much. Like, do you? I should probably just steer clear of like spoilers, right? But otherwise, like, I guess, like, yeah, for the most part, I actually remember, I guess, what it felt like to watch these movies for the first time. And I guess that's what I mean when I talk about like the impression that it left on me. Because that's what I love about like films that really, like, you know, that you watch for the first time and then it makes you just feel these emotions that are themselves like memorable. It's like a memorable feeling you got as a result of watching these movies. And I guess I personally just like, I guess from, you know, my love of sci-fi, my love of interesting, unconventional storytelling, a handful of these movies definitely really scratched that itch for me, like from Coherence to Enemy, to Snowpiercer, to Her, and The World's End. Like, The World's End really kept you guessing, and I really love that. You know, it was really funny. Like the first act of it is super funny, and then the second act is when things just kind of like you have. It's one of those movies that are just super unpredictable, and you have no idea what's gonna happen. But you also have like the title in mind, like The World's End, so that kind of like sets up some expectations for you. And it's also notable that that movie with like, I don't think it was a Judd Apatow movie, but it was like, has Seth Rogen. It's either like, is it called This Is the End? This Is the End, right? That came out in 2013 as well, it did. And I really liked that movie. Yeah. But I guess it was either between The World's End and This Is the End, and I thought I like Edgar Wright's The World's End a little bit better.
Better, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, like there's one moment, I guess, or like you could maybe even call it like the watershed moment of the World's End, the movie. And like, I think it's in the second act where, I guess, the main conflict kind of comes into light, and like, I guess when things just like, when part of my language, but when shit hit the fan, it's kind of like, oh, okay, now this is happening, and you kind of just strap in for the ride. But at the like, once the credits roll, you kind of realize, okay, that actually did come together and actually did kind of make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's The World's End, even Iron Man 3, Fast and Furious 6, of course, and Gravity, Coherence, Man of Steel, Wolf of Wall Street, Snowpiercer, Enemy. I feel like all of these movies are super unpredictable to different degrees, and I guess in different ways. But yeah, like the top three, like Enemy, Snowpiercer, and The Wolf of Wall Street. I feel like all three of those movies just keep you guessing all the way through. And I also think they're all kind of similar in the sense that, like, as the story progresses, your opinions or your view of the protagonist changes gradually all throughout.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I do like movies like that. And of course, I think, you know, sometimes the protagonist's like art is gonna make or break a film, right? And I think right. those three movies in particular have a really like fascinating protagonist and who goes through a very fascinating arc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I've never seen Enemy or Snowpiercer, but I've seen Wolf of Wall Street, and like, yeah, it definitely had me on the edge of my seat. Like, what's gonna happen? You know, how is he gonna fix things? Is the police gonna get involved? Like, is it another, you know, Catch Me If You Can kind of scenario? Because that he was in that with Tom Hanks, you know,
right.
Leonardo DiCaprio. So I was just like, is it something like that? And I watched it really just because I don't know. It had not Seth Rogen. What's his name?
Jonah Hill.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, Margot Robbie. So I was just like, okay, this looks pretty interesting. And of course, it had Matthew McConaughey, and it's like that iconic scene where he's beating his chest, you know?
Yeah, I love that scene.
It's so weird, but it you know, turned into this huge meme and everything. I don't know. But yeah, Wolf of Wall Street was wild. I enjoyed that movie a lot. I couldn't put it on my list only because like it, as much as I enjoyed watching the movie, I was like, these movies really like stuck out for me. I don't know, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I guess it just depends on your preferences, I guess. Cause I mean, yeah, there's a lot of good movies that come out every year. And I do want to ask you though, why 2013? I guess is it just because of the decade mark?
Yeah, I was thinking because for me, I was going to do an episode of just talking about the top 10 movies that came out 10 years ago for myself, and you know, doing that. But then I thought, oh well, you know, maybe someone else could come on the show and give me a different perspective of the movies that they might have enjoyed in the like 10 years ago, because I don't know that everyone would be like, oh, well, she watched Frozen. She watched Despicable Me. You know, like, I've got cartoons, and then I have Warm Bodies, which is a zombie movie. And then there's, you know, I've done like a lot of comedy or The Wolverine. And, you know, it's most of my movies are either comedy or action.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you have some really good picks. Like, I totally forgot about The Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
That's when isn't he in Japan in that one?
Yeah, so it's basically kind of like a prequel to who he is and how he got that way.
Okay.
Or how he got the titanium claws.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, so like...
Adamantium?
Yes, Adamantium.
Yeah.
I'm not like a huge X-Men fan, but I've seen like every movie that's come out, and I've always like wondered like how did he get those, and why in the movies he hasn't donned the full, you know, Wolverine cartoon outfit and stuff like that. But I digress. But that movie, it was so well done, I think. And I was just like, I felt all the emotions with it. I felt happy. I felt sad that, you know, now I know why he didn't have memory and, you know, and all this stuff. And then I didn't realize that he had a brother named Sabretooth. It was just like, oh my goodness, so much is going on. But yeah, that movie was something else for me.
I guess that was the precursor to Logan.
Mm-hmm. Like
James Mangold also directed Logan, right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I first saw Logan. I don't know what year that came out, but When I first saw Logan, like it left 2017, it left like a huge impression on me because I guess it was like similar to how I felt when I first watched The Dark Knight in the movie theaters. I just felt like I had seen like a new, I guess, side of like the superhero film genre. It almost felt like I was watching like not so much an Elseworld version of Wolverine, but almost like a really dark timeline version of like Wolverine, who again like they're adapting, I think, like the old man Logan plotline of the comics with tons of like, I guess, changes and like creative liberties. But at the end of the day, I kind of felt like, as a superhero fan, kind of like challenged from that whole experience, because they made some really bold choices, and I mean, I feel like that movie just accomplished what X3 The Last Stand was trying to accomplish. Yeah. But like, I mean, I was so disturbed knowing that like Professor X was having these migraine attacks or whatever, and actually like legitimately like caused like tons of casualties on like in his own academy. Like that's like when that sank in, and like I truly understood the implications of that plot point alone, I was like, I felt kind of violated as a superhero fan, or like as a superhero movie fan. I was like, this is like so out of my comfort zone. Like I'm so used to like, you know, the heroes saving the day by the end of Act 3, everything's back to normal. But like this, like Logan was just like, holy shit, like spoiler alert, you know what happens at the end? It's like,
spoiler alert.
Like Mr. like Immortal Wolverine is like,
yeah,
it just felt like this I've never seen this before in a comic book film. And I thought it was great. I mean, I really just began to understand how brilliant it was, but I'd be lying if I told you that I wasn't a little bit like disturbed when I walked out of the theater, like to the point that I would be like thinking about that movie for like the next night, the next several nights, just thinking about like trying to process what I just saw.
Yeah. Like,
this ain't no Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. You know what I mean? Like,
I know the good guy doesn't last, and the bad guys, I mean, well, you know.
Yeah,
it's after seeing Logan, I definitely cried.
Yeah,
I was just so sad. And then it was very interesting to me, especially because I didn't realize that Logan was going to get so close to Professor X. Like, it just like the way that all the other movies were going, it was definitely like a team effort for everybody. But for him to be like the last guy to hang around him and kind of like try and protect him and stuff, I was just like, whoa, like how did we get here? How did, you know, the X-Men franchise, they have some really good movies, and then they have some not so good movies, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like that what was it? The Apocalypse movie that was
right.
It was just like, why is this a thing? And then, you know, of course, with Deadpool and
right.
I think those are two of the greatest movies that we've ever seen. I like both of them. Which ones?
Deadpool and
Deadpool and Deadpool 2.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I like what they do
with Deadpool. Yeah, I mean, I do like Deadpool as a character, and I think Ryan Reynolds just really nails Deadpool. Yeah. Like. Again, like what we talked about on my podcast, like just actors who just nail their roles to the point where you can say they pretty much own them, or like they have like an ownership, like a honorary ownership or something.
Right. Yeah. There could be no other Deadpool in my mind. There could be no other Wolverine. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Hugh Jackman is coming back though, isn't he? Like, have you heard that news? I remember reading that a while back, that I guess Hugh Jackman agreed to do a crossover with Deadpool, or like a crossover film with Deadpool. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I mean, we are talking about two characters with, like, what do you call it, super healing abilities, or I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if like Logan's gonna be canon to this timeline that they're gonna be crossing over in, but who knows? As long as it's not too contrived, and as long as it makes sense, and I'll be happy. I would love to see both of them, just like, you know, Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds, just, I guess, I don't know, interacting in whatever way, and seeing how their dynamic plays out on screen.
Yeah, I don't know. I did see, well, I know that there's going to be a Deadpool 3, and I feel like Ryan had it on his timeline that he was going to have Hugh Jackman in the third movie, so it's very possible. I'm just waiting for the trailer, or the teaser trailer, or even the poster. Like, we want something. Give us something.
Do you think they're gonna use that time, like a Cable's time machine watch thing, or whatever you call it? It's like some kind of device that Cable used to travel through time, I believe.
I don't know. That's a great question.
I think they were using it in the end credits of Deadpool 2. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just like a gag, but I could see them using that to try to prevent Wolverine from dying.
Mm-hmm.
They could just do that. Mm-hmm. Easily do that. That's probably what they're doing, actually. I don't know. Well,
okay, so from my memory, because I haven't seen Logan in a while, 2017, I think I saw it like maybe two other times after that. But so was he dying from the metal that was coursing through his body, or like what? I don't remember what actually killed him.
Yeah, you know what? I think there was something that happened to him between, like, the fight. Yeah, it was happening with his younger self, which I really loved, by the way. Or, like, like his clone or whatever it's, whatever that Wolverine version of Wolverine's
name
is. But I believe that probably weakened him a lot. And, yeah, I don't know if there was something. I think it was actually, like, his regeneration abilities, I think, were compromised. Because at the end of the movie, he had he fell back on a stake or something, or like a plank of wood, or like something really sharp was stabbed through him.
Yeah.
And, I believe something happened to his regenerative abilities that prevented him from just getting up and just brushing it off.
Yeah.
I would buy that he was just so like weak at that point, and just was so beaten down that
pretty much
dying seemed like the more rational option, I guess.
Yeah, the easier way to go.
I mean, he still feels pain, of course, right? So,
but I think with the ending, with him buried in like the rock there, it kind of felt like how in the Man of Steel, like when he, not in the Man of Steel, but what was it, the Batman versus Superman movie, when he dies and then like you could see the earth kind of like giving him powers because it has the powers of the sun or whatever. So I don't know, maybe because it just might take a little bit longer because he's older now, so the Wolverine could essentially come back. It just takes a lot longer for him to rejuvenate his abilities.
Right.
That could be one of those plots.
Yeah. Like, I guess with that in mind, though, I think about the Multiverse of Madness, the latest Doctor Strange movie, and how Professor X was part of the Illuminati, which Wanda, like, just seemingly effortlessly just dispatched with, like, what's that?
I'm just like, that scene. Oh my goodness.
She just wiped the floor with every single one of them. And
honestly, what?
Can we just talk about how, you know, Professor X, you know, he's known for psychic abilities, his, you know, foresight, his like cerebro and whatnot. And he can't, like, doesn't he realize that Wanda literally set him up and then he just falls for it. Like, come on, Professor X, Mr. Because I mean, I feel like they could have had a much better, they could have had a much better like face off between them, or like a much better. I feel like they did a huge disservice to Professor X as a character, because he basically just got his neck snapped or whatever. What did you, I just remember she just came out from behind and snapped his neck, and that was it. Yeah. That was it.
Came through the red smoke and was like, wow. I was like, oh. Man, I saw that movie. I saw that movie like the first weekend it came out, and I left that movie so disturbed. I was just like, okay, the multi-universe is going into a different direction than I'm used to. You know, it's like, it's not Iron Man anymore. It's not Thor. It's not, you know, they're not just fighting one good bad guy and saving the day. Now it's fighting a distressed mom who has abilities beyond our imagination. And I'm like, she scared the crap out of me.
I could like nitpick about that movie to the end of the multiverse, but because I mean, it was also for me, it was a huge letdown because it was Sam Raimi directing it, and I feel like as a director, he did really well with what we had or what he had, but I believe where that film really failed was the script and the storyline and just basically, again, like so many issues with Wanda's motivations to begin with. And also, I don't know, like the whole America Chavez plotline, and she's basically a MacGuffin that talks. You know what I mean? Like she's like, I don't know. If Wanda's trying to, I don't know, like, can't Wanda just like use her words and like ask, hey America, you know how you have these like multi-dimensional powers that maybe you don't know how to use them just yet, or like how to harness it, but if you can give it your best shot to like open up a portal to this universe where I have kids and all, then the only person I'll have to kill is myself in that universe. But no, Wanda wants to go through this whole, like, I don't know, dark and troubled road to getting what she wants, and ends up killing, like, what is like the interdimensional council that calls themselves the Illuminati of all things?
Yeah, I know. That's so weird. When they said that, I was like, I'm like, guys, y'all couldn't pick a different name here? We have too much in real life about Illuminati. We don't
Illuminati need an word is very loaded. It has like a very bad connotation. I would have taken the Council of Reeds over the Illuminati.
Or just, you know, I don't know. Like the Council of whatever Earth it was. Like this, it didn't make any sense.
Can we talk about? Dumb. Sorry, I mean, sorry to interrupt you, but like, can we talk about just how non unfantastic Mr. Fantastic was in this movie? Like the Council of Reeds were probably watching that and like collectively shaking their heads.
My favorite part was the fact that he thinks that he can talk to this woman. Like she just came from like doing so much damage. She's got blood all over her face. Yeah. He comes in and he's just like, trying to reason with her. You got to stop right there. Don't control this woman. Let her go, Wanda. Let her go. We're just going to get this guy to whisper your death. And she's like, what mouth? And I was just like, oh, it's a wrap now. It's
a wrap. But yeah, like, yeah. Him thinking that he could talk her out of her goals, kind of a stretch. Yeah. But also, such a dad joke, but still wiser than Reed Richards in this movie, apparently. Because like, what did he say? He's like, don't, or he basically gave away dude's power. Mm-hmm. What was his name again? Like Beetle or something? Or like,
no, like, I don't know. He had like this
creature
metal piece on his head. I can't even. I don't know.
Anyways, just... this guy. Yeah, he can blow her away or something, or like, and
he could. All he had to do was speak. All he had to do was say the words to like kill her, or like just if he just spoke to her, she was supposedly supposed to die. Like they expressed that in the scene where that Earth's Doctor Strange needed to be stopped, and so the guy who had the speaking ability, he just spoke to Doctor Strange and then he was gone. He was dead.
Wow.
And he like whispered it, so it was supposed to, you know, that was their best defense. And
that's way more of a curse than a gift, to be honest with you, for one.
Yeah, because he ended up dying
also. Yeah, like Reed did telegraph to her that was the source of his power, and then she's like, what mouth? And then like wait, didn't he try to speak and then his head exploded, or am I just misremembering?
Yeah. No. Yep, that's what happened.
That's how,
uh-huh. Wow. He like internally screamed and then it was like,
wow.
Like, oh.
Well, but, yeah.
But my thing is, I was like, she claimed, like, Wanda claimed to have gone through every universe available. And I'm like, in real life, not every child has parents. You know, you gotta think about like that. Like, there's no way that every child that she went to go see had their mother, first of all. Like, it just, that didn't make any sense to me. I was like, there had to have been an option where she wasn't available for them. Like, she went to go fight somewhere and then, you know, she couldn't come back home. So they would have been orphans. Like, I just felt like that would have made sense. But I don't know if maybe she didn't want to traumatize her kids because they lost their mom. So if she showed up as their mom, it's like, oh, hey, kids, I am your mother. And they're like, no, our mother's dead.
I mean, that is kind of what happened in the third act, though, isn't it? Like, that was sort of like her revelatory moment.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm kind of a bad person. Just killed all these people in these different universes just to...
Yeah.
I feel like she could have like reached that conclusion earlier with like less of a body pile behind her, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I just can't get over how, you know, John Krasinski was like everybody's pick to play Reed Richards, like Mr. Fantastic, mm-hmm. And then they make him like, they give him the worst lines or like the worst dialogue, mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, he's just That was probably the worst Reed of all the Reed Richards in the Council of Reeds. The Council of Reeds probably see themselves like as way above the Illuminati anyway. So they're like, this Reed's going to the Illuminati. Let's just, that's where he, you know, he'll feel more important there.
Yeah.
He's like, just, he's not very fantastic relative to the average mm-hmm. Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
from the other universes we never get to see.
Yeah,
I mean, like just that one moment where, oh god, and also the way he dies, he just like spaghetti strands and everything. Like, I just wish I just wish in like those last moments that he would just like that John Krasinski just like looked at the camera and gave us like a gym moment, just like gym the camera before turning into spaghetti entirely.
Just like.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's funny. Oh my goodness. Okay, well, let's so I was gonna ask you, it's like, okay, we went on a different tangent, but for our 2013 movies, how come Iron Man 3 is your number 10?
Oh
yeah,
number 10. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know, because Man of Steel is number 4. Uh-huh. And Fast and Furious 6 is number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I just have to fall back on the answer of like these, like the movies that left the deepest impression, I guess. Okay. Or just, yeah, I mean, just like, I remember how it felt to watch these films. in a movie theater. And like, in all honesty, like, by the time Iron Man 3 was over, I feel like I didn't appreciate the twist enough. Because, like, I went in, like many people, expecting the Mandarin, right? Like, we were all expecting Ben Kingsley to play the Mandarin. And it turns out he was just playing some kind of, like, actor or, like, some patsy. Like, it was, it was like a bait and switch. And I personally didn't really appreciate, was it Killian? Aldrich Killian or something? Guy Pierce's villain. It kind of felt like he was very much reminiscent of Jim Carrey's The Riddler, I guess, especially in his like in his motivations, and even like that flashback scene kind of felt like somewhat copy and pasted from The Riddler in Batman Forever. Batman Forever.
Either Batman Forever or Batman Begins. I think it was Forever, though. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So, like, I guess on one level, I was, like, pleasantly surprised to see, like, such a huge bait and switch in, like, a mainstream superhero film. I don't feel like Aldrich Am I saying just, like, pulling out some random name? Or was his name actually Aldrich
Killian? I thought it was Aldrich. I don't know. I thought it was, like... Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Aldrich Killian. Yeah. I just felt like his villain, wasn't all that compelling to me. But I did like the way that the Ben Kingsley played Trevor, and also how he did come back in Shang-Chi, which was cool, and Shang-Chi did, I guess, give us like the Mandarin, but the
explanation, yeah.
And I guess like since now we have like the real Mandarin and know who he is, and again like still have like Trevor as a part of the MCU, I feel like I have more appreciation for Iron Man 3 now. But yeah, I guess for that reason, for the most part, I put it number 10 because. Yeah, I think again, like I love the spectacle of it. I love what that movie meant for Tony's arc as a character. Even Pepper's arc, and even like a lot of the other characters, and just how it just felt like even home isn't safe for Tony anymore. And just like that domestic like attack on his house, and how it was like airing on the news live, like that was like super scary, and it just felt like, okay, this is like Tony Stark is in this point in his character arc where, you know, nothing's gonna be the same after this, and you know, it's kind of like another like watershed moment type thing where you know, like there's no going back, and I love that it culminated in the, I guess, the core message that like Tony is Iron Man to the core. You know what I mean? Like at the very core, he is Iron Man. And that was, I really like what that said about his identity. But yeah, again, I would say that's why I put it in number 10. If that answers the question.
That does. I mean, cause for me with Iron Man 3, like I definitely, when I first saw it, I was just kind of like, what are we doing here? Why did they go in this direction? Like the villain wasn't even that scary. It was just kind of, it felt very like lax, I think. And with like, I don't know, out of the other two movies, Iron Man and Iron Man 2, I was just kind of like, this third movie does not do it for me. I don't know. So I've seen it a few times because I would watch like whenever a new Marvel movie comes out, which I haven't done in a little bit, but before I would try and watch every movie to like catch myself up, and I was just like, okay, I don't know if I want to rewatch Iron Man 3, but I know that it has to be watched if I want to understand or whatever. So yeah, now there's like, if I Google, I'm like, oh, what to watch before whatever movie comes out, there's like, oh, definitely watch this and this, and you know, it'll explain it'll help explain some of the new parts of this movie or whatever. So I don't know. I just like, I didn't put it on my list because I was like, I didn't like it that much, but I understand what you're saying and what you're coming from.
Yeah.
As Tony, as his arc continued, how the third movie was a little bit more important than we realized.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what other movies did you list other than Frozen that I didn't list too? Like, and where the Millers? Because I mean, I do like Frozen. Let me just say, like, yeah. I do really enjoy Frozen.
It's okay. Yeah, I put Identity Theft.
Oh right.
And Despicable Me 2, Warm Bodies, Oz the Great and Powerful. Those are the other ones that I didn't talk about a whole lot. But yeah,
Identity Theft, is that with Jason Bateman?
That was with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy had a good year. She had a good few years where she was just cranking out
two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. So you listed two Melissa McCarthy movies then?
I did. I did not realize it until I did. Because The Heat and Identity Theft are sort like she... Okay, so Melissa McCarthy, she does sort of the same character in her movies where she's just kind of like this lovable, like, screw-up kind of mm-hmm. character. She kind of screws up in most of her movies. But for me, in Identity Theft, it was like, it was just so funny. It was like these two, because I love Jason Bateman as well. He's a good, well, versatile actor. I've seen him in several different movies, some rom-coms, this movie, Identity Theft, and like his show on Netflix called Ozark, where he plays like this accountant who counts money for the Mexican cartel and stuff. And I'm just like, I just watched it and I remember how funny it was and just like how unrealistic it could really be. But at the same time, it was like, identity theft is a real thing, Jim, you know, millions of people suffer every year. So, but it was just funny. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't watched Ozark all that much. Okay. I do like Arrested Development. I did like watching that, I guess, growing up. It's just hilarious. But yeah, I mean, I haven't seen Identity Theft, nor have I seen The Heat. Okay. It's not because I don't like Melissa McCarthy. I do like enjoy the movies that I've seen her in. And, mm-hmm. and I do like Sandra Bullock. She's like one of the greats. One of the greats, greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But you mentioned Melissa McCarthy. Sometimes or oftentimes plays like a similar characters.
Yeah.
What do you, is there a name for that? Or like you have character actors and then you have like method actors.
Oh, it's like, yeah, it's called typecast. Like
typecast.
But
right.
But for her, I feel like because, all right, so she, in most of her movies, it's her. And then like sometimes she'll bring in her husband. I forgot his name. And he's also in several different movies and he has a large media presence in terms of like TV shows and movies.
Oh, really?
And whatever.
What's her?
Yeah.
What was he in? What's that?
He was in almost every one of her movies for sure.
Did he play the
he was the cop on the plane who wasn't a cop.
Yeah, what do you call those again?
Oh,
that's cool. That's cool that they're together. That's hilarious.
I don't remember. And she said it so much. I don't remember what his role was. But yeah, he was on the cop he was on the plane as like a undercover cop or whatever. She's like, you work with the TSA? Air Marshal. She's like, are you an Air Marshal? He's like, no, I'm not an Air Marshal. And then he turns up to be an Air Marshal. She's like, I knew it.
That was that guy was so funny. I love how you played it so straight. That's so cool. That's her husband. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen him before. I don't know his name or anything, but
he's one of those guys that just show up in movies you're like, oh, there's that guy. I never remember his name.
He's just that dude. Yeah, I mean, like.
So yeah, she, I don't know that she's typecast for per se. Like, I know that she does certain movies that she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So, but I think she's done at least a couple of movies that were more serious. I haven't seen them. I've seen trailers, but as far as I know, she, like most of her movies, I think she's probably more involved than just being an actress. I think she's like either a producer or something. So she's like, if she's in it, then it's usually because she wants to be in it. It's a movie centered around her.
Right. I mean, I brought that up because I know a lot of people say that about Ryan Reynolds. And I could kind of see it. Like, Ryan Reynolds definitely has, I guess, like a shtick. Or like, you know, like a, I don't know, but there definitely is a similarity between many of the characters that he has portrayed. And I feel like he definitely plays it up as Deadpool, but I just feel like Deadpool is just basically Ryan Reynolds, like the way, like his, it's his personality, like almost like amplified to like this comic book character. Cause like, as far as I've read like Deadpool comics, like Deadpool, like Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool is pretty spot on from like the vibe, like the energy to the comedic style and just the voice and whatnot. It's like, yeah, I can totally imagine Deadpool's voice as Ryan, like the way Ryan Reynolds does it. But yeah, I mean, like, even if you watch something like, what was that space movie he was in on Netflix? Add the Adam Project? And like, just, I don't know, like a handful of his other movies, it's like, he kind of does sort of like play the same dude, guy, like same personality.
But yeah, you know, like him in The Bodyguard, him in Red Notice. You know, I've seen a lot of his movies, surprisingly, but he definitely plays like that, like sarcastic humor guy who always has something to say, something smart to say.
I mean, it does work for him, though. It's sort of like Will Smith, too. Like, if you, like, I don't know, if you think about it, like, Will Smith sort of plays the same, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? Like, like the characters that he plays are, like, they all have that Will Smith, like, swagger about them. And, like, that self-assuredness would also, I guess, I don't know, like, being smooth-talking and saying some badass stuff at the right time. Like, he definitely brought that to Deadshot in the Suicide Squad. But yeah, just he definitely just played Deadshot the way Will Smith would play Deadshot. I'm not saying he wasn't playing Deadshot. I'm just saying, yeah, that's how Dead Smith would take the character. That's how Will Smith would take it. Did I say Dead Smith?
You did.
Okay, wow. Well.
Dead Smith.
Dead Smith.
Well, yeah. All right. Well, that's how was our movies.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Think about the whole experience or the conversation.
About our movies, about the conversation, about what we talked about. What did you think about it all? Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was really fun, and yeah, I do like that we had some movies overlapping. And you did mention a lot of movies that I decided to leave out, but I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that you listed them. Unfortunately, a lot of movies didn't make the list on either of our lists.
I know, but, yeah.
No, that was a lot of fun. And I'm just trying to think of, like, I feel like we didn't get to talk about Frozen or Despicable Me 2 enough.
Like, because it's been 10 years, these two movies people have definitely seen.
Frozen
literally blew up, like, as soon as, because I remember going to the theaters to see it, and I don't think I went with like kids. I know that I went by, like, I either went with my friends and we went to go see it, and I'm sitting in the theater and I'm just like, oh, this is amazing. Like, I'm just sitting there like, oh, this is a good movie. It doesn't compare for me. It doesn't compare to like The Lion King or whatever. Ooh. But I was just so happy to see another Disney movie, another princess movie, or like, not a princess movie, because she's definitely a queen, but
right.
Like I'm going in there and I'm like, oh, they got this, got the music. Look at the visuals. Like I was hyped. Mm-hmm. And then it was everywhere. And little girls were dressed up as Elsa all over the place. And the song just kept playing over and over and over. And I was just like, okay, you guys can stop now. But it's still it was definitely, it like impacted just everything that I known for Disney after that. I was like, oh, okay. Frozen is here and it's here to stay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And Let It Go was such a huge like cultural phenomenon in and of itself.
Huge. Yeah.
Like, everybody would sing that like everywhere. Yeah. You just hear it everywhere. But it's a good song though. It's like Idina Menzel, right? Like she's another like goat in like, especially in like musical theater and like Broadway and whatnot. I'm just looking at like a list of movies that came out in 2013 and I'm looking for some honorable mentions.
Oh yeah, sure.
And I did find Now You See Me, because like,
oh yeah, this was like such, I was gonna put that on my list.
Yeah, I didn't really like the sequel because I feel like it just doubled down on all the like the worst aspects of it. But it's just my opinion. But like I did like, I do like the idea of like these like vigilante magicians, and then you know, but I also felt like it could have been a little bit more realistic, and I still would have bought it because like these magicians were essentially like superheroes, like low key, right? Like the way Dave Franco would throw cards, like. And he, the cards would like seem like lethal projectiles and whatnot. And it's like one example. Captain Phillips also came out in 2013. It's like Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really thought that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
Don John by Joseph Gordon-Levitt, directed and starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I didn't really like this movie when I first saw it. But then I think it's because I realize it's because it just hit too close to home. Like, you know, like porn use is such a like widespread thing among like young men. And I think that movie is definitely a little bit underappreciated. It's sitting at a 6.5 stars on IMDb. I don't know if maybe I would like it more now or I don't know. I haven't watched it after.
I haven't seen it since 2013.
Yeah, I think it might hit me a little bit differently because of where I'm at in my life now. World War Z also came out in 2013. Yeah. Which
I didn't see that one. I didn't see the whole thing, but I remember watching. Like, okay, I used to back in the day. I used to movie hop. I used to go to see different movies at the movie theater. And yeah, I would like, if I could, I would, pay for one movie, go in the morning for like a matinee and then just stay the entire day and just kind of go from movie to movie. And I caught the ending of World War Z where they figured out the cure and everything. And I was like, this movie is wild, but I didn't see the whole thing. I don't remember how it started or anything like that.
Right.
So I haven't seen it since, but I was like, yeah, World War Z is definitely a movie. I saw the ending too.
I haven't read the book, but knowing now, like what the book or how the book is like structured and laid out and the way that the book tells the story, kind of disappointed that World War Z didn't follow suit because I think it was supposed to be a mockumentary type thing, assuming that they went by like directly adapting the book, but otherwise, other than that though, it seemed like they just made it into like just another, you know, popcorn zombie flick, which you know, I feel like it underperformed the box office and didn't get enough ratings to justify a sequel. But I think I feel like that's an example of a movie adaptation that missed the mark that we talked about on my podcast.
But, yes, we did.
But speaking of adaptations that didn't miss the mark, I'd really like The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
That was a good one.
Ben Stiller. And directed by Ben Stiller. It's a really great movie. Whimsical and touching and deep. Oh, Kick-Ass 2 came out in 2013.
Oh yeah, it did. Yeah. I didn't like Kick-Ass 2. I love the first movie. Kick-Ass 2 was kind of, I don't know. It's probably why there isn't a Kick-Ass 3, but
I would agree.
I really enjoyed the first movie. It was so awesome. I was like, this is what's up.
The first movie gave me like a similar feeling of like that I was talking about with Logan. Like,
yeah,
when Dave is like first trying out his superpowers, and he like falls from the building. Just again, I just thought, okay, this is like new territory for superhero films. I haven't seen anything like this before.
Yeah.
And yeah, there were like a lot of moments in Kick-Ass and even Kick-Ass 2 that were like genuinely like shocking. Mm-hmm. And I really like that about both the movies. Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Jim Carrey was in Kick-Ass 2. He was
yes.
Yeah.
But I like Nicolas Cage's character.
Oh, he's
like a Batman, but he wasn't a Batman.
He was like he was called Big Daddy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there's I really liked his character, but I feel like, I don't know, it could have been explored more, because I feel like mm-hmm. Chloe Grace Moretz's character, like her psychology, wasn't expanded enough in Kick-Ass 2, because obviously she has some very, very deep-rooted issues growing up. Her dad basically forced her into this vigilante lifestyle and whatnot. And maybe it's best we didn't get a Kick-Ass 3, because probably wouldn't have kicked as much ass as the first one.
I don't think so. I mean, yeah, Chloe, it kind of felt like for her, since she was she wasn't super young, but she was young enough. And like, then for me, I thought, I was like, okay, this is the next It Girl, you know? And then subsequently her name in the movie was Hit Girl, but
right.
I was like, it felt like she was just going to skyrocket after that. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's had a pretty good career since then.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. She's in that new TV show, creators of Westworld. Adapting this William Gibson story.
Okay,
I forgot what the show is called, but I haven't seen it. But I guess to wrap up my wonderful mentions, I will say "Only God Forgives" by Nicholas Winding Refn. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, anyways, Nicholas Winding Refn directed Drive with Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
And and Only God Forgives, I believe, was his follow-up, also starring Ryan Gosling. But this movie is super, super dark and super violent and super messed up. But it also has like a lot of like, I would say, like Freudian symbolism that tends to make people uncomfortable. But yeah, I mean, it's basically a neon noir nightmare, basically kind of like Drive, but more nightmarish, like less palatable to the mainstream tastes than even Drive. But Drive is kind of more of a mainstream type flick. But
okay.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I mean,
yeah.
We got Mortal Instruments, City of Bones, but I mean, that never really, I wouldn't say that's even an honorable mention. I just, I mean, it was one of those like adaptations that, again, missed the mark. And unfortunately, I mean, it had a really good, pretty stacked cast, honestly, like including like Lily Collins, Jamie Campbell-Bauer, Robert Sheehan, and even Cersei from Game of Thrones. Lena Headey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question, the Snowpiercer, didn't they make a TV show out of that? Isn't there a TV show called Snowpiercer?
Yeah. There is a TV show based on that story.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's based on a book. I just know that Bong Joon-ho directed it, and he's obviously the mad genius behind Parasite and Okja and some other movies. I think The Host, like I was going to say, a host of other movies, but
The host, yeah, with Saoirse Ronan. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Do you have any honorable mentions? Because I feel like I just rattle off a lot, but, you know.
My honorable mentions are, like, you know, Monsters University. Like, oh. I'm such a kid.
It came out in 2013?
Yeah.
I love that movie, because I loved Monsters, Inc. growing up. Like, that movie.
I thought it was a good one. I think, but the only thing with that one is that it kind of contradicts Monsters University contradicts Monsters, Inc., because in Monsters, Inc., it's Sully and oh, shoot, what's his name?
Mike.
Sully and Mike are like, he's like, oh, we've been friends since, you know, forever. And then in Monsters University, it's like they met at college and they were roommates in college. So it's like, which was it? Were they friends for a very, very long time before college, or did they meet in college? Because there was a controversy there. Another one was Las Vegas with Douglas De Niro and Morgan Freeman, you know.
I've never seen this.
You never seen Las Vegas?
Las Vegas?
Yeah, it's got these old timers. They're old timers. They got, you know, Robert De Niro, Michael Douglas, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Klein. They get together and try and do like a last hurrah as since they're friends and everything. It's a comedy. It's very funny, actually. These old guys come together.
I should watch that. I probably like that a lot.
You should, yeah. The Internship, I enjoyed. That was a good one. I saw After Earth, but it was terrible, in my opinion. It's not a great movie.
Shyamalan, not Will Smith and James Smith?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't remember. I saw American Hustle. Was a good one.
Yeah, I did like that one, too.
I only watched it because I was in my I want to watch everything Amy Adams is in phase.
I guess that means you watched Arrival too, right?
No,
I haven't
seen it. No, that wasn't it. That didn't come out back then. When did Arrival come out? Didn't it just come out like a couple years ago? A few years ago?
I don't think it was more than a couple years ago. But you should watch 2016.
Oh, see.
Watch Arrival. it was this directed by Denis Villeneuve, who also directed Enemy, which I listed as number one. Mm-hmm. And I would like, if Arrival came out in 2013, it would have been number one. Because, I mean, this is also, Arrival is based on a short story called Story of Your Life by Ted Chiang. And mm-hmm. that, I will say right now, like, that's one of my favorite short stories. Sci-fi or otherwise ever, because it's so beautiful, so poetic, and the fact that mm-hmm. they adapted it to a film, and then Denis Villeneuve of all people was like directed it, and just the way they adapted this story is so it was so beautiful. And I ended up mm-hmm. Just sitting alone in my car like 10-15 minutes after the show or after the film, mm-hmm. just bawling my eyes out, because like I felt like I had just like witnessed one of my favorite short stories come to life on screen, and to see it done that well, you know, it was like a really cathartic moment. And then mm-hmm. and Amy Adams and Jeremy Renner like really just sold their performances. Such a good movie.
Okay. I will add that to my to watch list. I'll do that.
Do it. Yeah. Because it's so unique as a sci-fi film too, and it's like mm-hmm. I really love that it was just like super grounded and super realistic, but also so life-affirming and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely like the polar opposite of your like Mars Attacks or your, you know, alien movies. Mm. It's just like, you know, hey, this is actually like more likely what would happen if there was like an alien visitation or contact. And those are the sci-fi movies I tend to go for, kind of like Contact too, but you know, the adaptation of Carl Sagan's book with Jodie Foster. Mm-hmm. It's just,
yeah,
it's more grounded in reality, you know, we aren't facing off against aliens in some intergalactic war. It's more so, hey, this is how they're making contact with us, and now we're trying to understand each other through verbal communication and written. So, yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Okay, there you go. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap up on. I do appreciate you coming on my show, and I do hope that we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for coming on my podcast, by the way. Like nice little guest exchange.
Yeah. We did a collab, guys. He's on mine, I'm on his. That's how we roll.
Exactly. Yeah. When we follow through on these collaborations. Yeah. So now the circle is complete and now it can be let out into the world.
All right. Good. All right. Well, thanks for listening, KD Time folks. Make sure you go and catch him on his Instagram. His channel, I think, is Channel Surf Cinemas. If I remember that correctly,
without the S, yeah, Channel Surf Cinema.
Channel Surf Cinema. That's his.
Just one establishment, unfortunately. Maybe in the future I'll expand. Expand maybe.
And don't forget to check him out on his podcast, Overthinkers Anonymous. And thanks again.
Thank you.
On the next episode of KD Time, I'll have another special guest who is showcasing her new book, Starsick, and giving us an insight on a writer's life. She's an author of sci-fi fantasy, and I was so happy to hear that she is self-published. It's something that I've been looking into on my own. She'll tell us all about that experience, and she'll give tips for future writers like myself. It's an awesome episode, and I'm excited for you all to hear it. Check that out on the next episode of KD Time. As always, follow your girl on KD Time Podcast, Twitter, and Instagram. Subscribe, share, wherever you are listening, and I'll catch you on the next one. Deuces!